Welcome to the Men on Purpose podcast, featuring dynamic conversations with emerging and established visionary men on purpose. Thanks for joining us today as we celebrate the men on purpose who are committed, creative, courageous change makers all around the world. Now, here's the host of Men on Purpose, Emerald Greenforest.
And welcome to another episode of the Men on Purpose podcast, where we celebrate men on purpose and provide our listeners with wisdom and immediately actionable steps to be more purposeful, powerful, and positive in their impact and their leadership. This is Emerald Greenforest, and I am here today with Dawn Wetrick, who I found by stalking on LinkedIn. And I saw what he was doing, and I was like, oh my God, you are absolutely the kind of guy that I would like to have on the show. So Dawn is the founder and president of the Start Ed Up Foundation, a nonprofit dedicated to empowering young innovators and entrepreneurs. He is also the author of the book, Pure Genius, Building a Culture of Innovation, and the host of the podcast, Start Ed Up, where he interviews the nation's top entrepreneurs and authors with a focus on education. So I'm really excited that you're here, Dawn, and thank you very much for being with me today on the show. How are you?
Super. Fresh off of a day of school.
All right.
Ready to go, yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your calling here, because clearly you have a calling. So it sounds like are you a full-time teacher in addition to your foundation? Or tell us a little bit more about your story and your calling.
Yeah, my calling, ironically enough, I didn't want it to be at first. My dad's a teacher. My sister's a teacher. I thought last thing I should be is a teacher. But when I graduated from college, I was not a teacher. My mom and dad paid for everything. So I felt kind of bad. And you just get that bug. And so 3 years into my new career, I knew that I wanted to be in education. I wasn't making that difference. And I always liked like going out to places and hearing people say things about my dad. My mom's a wonderful person too, by the way, but you know, some of my dad's students would come up and say great things. And so I wanted to make that impact. And so long story made short, 20th year in teaching, which is kind of prophetic. I'll get to why that in a second. But my dad was never badmouthed education, but when I told him I was going to go back and get a second degree, he's like, you know, I don't care if you can teach for the next 20 years, just don't teach 1 year 20 times. And that stuck with me for a long time, is that we, you know, we're always changing it up and we're evolving and iterating. And so in about year 14 of my career, I discovered a Dan Pink TED Talk on, you know, what's the path to mastery and how people motivate and things of this nature. And I thought, you know, why aren't we doing these things in education the way Atlassian was treating their employees or later on famously Google. And so I was like, I need to start my own Google time. And that evolved into its own class, and that's evolved into its own life. But I now teach an innovation and open source learning class, have for the about last 6.5, 7 years. And unfortunately, it's coming to an end. May 31st is my last day. It's only because of the unbelievably great success that we've had with our students. And then we were asked to start a nonprofit because we had a lot of interested contributors that wanted us to take this forward. So yeah, thus I'm the president and founder of the Start Ed Up Foundation now as well.
Beautiful. So can you tell me a little bit about this thing that you've been doing for 7 years? Now you're not going to do it anymore. Are you going to use that content or that intellectual property and gift it to the foundation, or how?
Yes,
like, because it actually sounds like it would be a hard thing to lose that momentum, right?
Right. So it's funny you say that. So yeah, we had started an LLC, and ironically enough, I was, you know, I'm an entrepreneur and have always been, but essentially one thing that we decided to do was essentially, like you said, like lend the curriculum that we created, we being a co-founder and I, who's actually a former student. So yeah, we're not leaving that behind. And quite frankly, a lot of the things that we do is we still work with schools. So I will be in classrooms all the time in my next career. It's just, I won't be in one and it won't be just my, you know, home base, so to speak. So I'll be doing things all over the nation, actually.
Great. So would you say that you are in a transition phase right now in your own life? And your, like, it sounds to me like you've been teaching 20 years, do you get to retire and get some kind of thing after a certain number of years? Are you waiting for that? Or are you just going to take and make the leap and bridge yourself into a different career? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so it's still kind of, it's been a very similar area. In some ways, yes. I mean, I'm vetted. I've done enough years in education. There's a retirement package for me. Basically, what I'm doing is that what I've done for one classroom, I'm trying to kind of set up ecosystems all over, at first the state, and actually we're growing outside of my state as well, and be able to prepare high school kids for an economy that's real, not a memorization economy, not an SAT economy. That's kind of our urgent need. But as far as me being in transition, I mean, this is all, you know, the other part of it is, you know, I wrote a book 6 years ago, and without a doubt, you know, that's been kind of, again, an entrepreneurial thing of going out and talking, doing keynotes, workshops, etc. So this kind of fits into it.
Great. So can you tell us a little bit about what you have been doing in the creation of these ecosystems? I mean, I'm totally stoked that you are actually taking into school systems the innovation mindset and the not just the innovation mindset, but the let's dismantle the system that doesn't really serve, right? That no longer serves because of the economy that we have, people are being turned out of schools that were cultivated to be factory workers, and we don't have factories anymore. So thank you for being the person, one of the people who are doing that. Can you talk specifically about what your body of work does? Because I've actually had another guy on the show who's into to the same kind of mindset, and he does STEM work. So is your stuff focused more on STEM or on creativity? Or tell me a little bit about what your exact like outcome is for the school systems
Sure.
that you work with.
So my own class, I had a class called Innovation in Open Source Learning. And essentially the class was about 7 weeks long. And then the rest of the year was open source learning. So we, you know, give you some brainstorming techniques, some empathy mapping, some, you know, how to reframe problems, brainstorming. Also even how to cultivate and curate a great digital brand. Why at age 16 you should be on LinkedIn doing things instead of complaining about, you know, why everything sucks. We also kind of have a mantra. We create seekers and peakers, not moaners and groaners. By that, we create opportunity seekers. People hear you moaning and groaning, and my students know that there's a solution there. Those are seekers. Peakers are when they started to form groups of 2, 3, 4, or 5, and together they share information. You can peek around the corner. You see what's coming next. That was at a classroom level. What I realized is that through my work as an LLC, a lot of schools ain't buying what I'm selling. You know, hey, how is this going to increase our state standardized score? It might not. Okay, thank you for your time. How is this going to make them better on their SAT? It probably won't. Okay, thank you for your time. Ironically enough, we struck a nerve with entrepreneurs. Actually, Dan Pink was really instrumental in getting my class going. I was just naive enough to think if I reach out to him, he'll help me grow this class, and he did. And actually, I hate to be a name dropper, but like there's this guy named Gary Vaynerchuk, and he was the one that kind of stabbed me in the heart a little bit. And he said, you know, if you really want this to spread, you can't just expect it to be just out of your classroom. You have to take this forward. And so we started doing programming all over really now the nation, in the sense that we do events to where we have kind of collaborative / entrepreneurial pitch nights for high school students. And there's a variety of things we do, but my favorite thing is that we bring in smaller, deserving nonprofits. They pitched us their problem. And then these high schoolers, we're averaging anywhere between 60 to 70 a night. They create solutions like the last one we just did. It was a family homeless shelter. And they needed to not only gain awareness, but also, you know, find different pockets of service and find, you know, anyway, they had all these personas they needed help with. And not only did we find, you know, the nice thing is I have money for them too. We've raised money for the other charities. But the students, like, this isn't theoretical BS. They're pitching solutions. And in some cases, at the end of the night, are hired, even though that's not a requirement. But some of the nonprofits are like, oh, geez, yes, we need your help. So this kind of thing isn't taught enough, if at all. And the other thing is that it's not school. Like, I'm not casting any doubt that people that teach entrepreneurship in school, I applaud you if you are, but oftentimes it's widgets and oftentimes it's theoretical. when we bring in a nonprofit, they're like, look, we're broke and we need your help. The kids know it's real. From time to time, we also just have seed round funding pitches for $500 for student entrepreneurs. But that's essentially what we do. We have some programming. We have some skills that we pass on to them. But essentially, my favorite part is we get them off their phone. We get to have them collaborate on an authentic level. We get them help them empower other nonprofits. And we just have fun. So it's great because I'm not constrained by school to do that.
Yeah. And I love, too, that you actually are giving them, skilling these young people to be immediately capable of generating revenue for themselves once they get out of high school as consultants to businesses and other entrepreneurs. So yay, how cool is that?
I like it.
Yeah, they don't have to be baristas at Starbucks for 12 years or something like that.
And you make a point. The other thing I like is that we now have adults. Actually, I don't know if he feels comfortable with this. There was a vice president of really a very prominent company in town who was like, I'm going to start sending some of my employees here just to watch, just to listen. And in a day and time where we moan like, well, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Okay, then know people.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it's not hard. And so I'm wanting our students. And the thing I love is most of our students will pass out their business cards because a lot of them now have business cards. They're like, why wouldn't you? And if you're 16, 17, 15, 18, whatever, if you're that age and you have a business card and you have a mission, you're so far ahead of everybody, it's not funny. So I'm trying to prep them for just that. Like, if you treat yourself like a professional online, people will treat you accordingly. And then when you start going to these events, people are like, I'm going to hire you right now. Then they've got the time to be hired. And then maybe, and I'm all for people being entrepreneurial. Not all of us can be entrepreneurs. And dear God, is it at times a lonely, depressing road. But if you want to be, you can be entrepreneurial or be entrepreneurial later in life. But for right now, acquire those skills, acquire those great networks.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, I want to talk when we come back from the break about the lonely and depressing road, because that just sparked something in me that I think we need to talk about. But for now, we are going to take a short break. I want to thank all of our listeners who are downloading, rating, and reviewing. We've already had thousands of downloads. We're approaching 20,000 downloads at this point from all over the world. And by the time this show goes on the air, I expect that to be surpassed and maybe beyond that. I want to shout out this week to our listeners in France and in Sweden. For some reason, France and Sweden want to be shouted out too. And we will be right back with Dawn Wetrick.
The Men on Purpose podcast is brought to you by the Creative Age Consulting Group. Men, are you ready to take the leap and go deep to discover the most meaningful mark you can make with your life? Is now the time to consciously craft the legacy life you want to lead? Are you already a legendary leader looking for your big what's next? Creative Age Consulting Group is hired to help men just like you to gain clarity, create consciously, and commit courageously. Please visit timetomakeyourmark.com to apply for an invitation-only consultation. Be sure to apply for a consultation today if you have been inspired to receive support in serving your purpose and making your most meaningful mark. Once again, that's timetomakeyourmark.com or click on the link in the show notes for access to the application.
And we are back with Dawn Wetrick. He is the founder and president of the Start Ed Up Foundation. And it's a nonprofit that's dedicated to empowering young innovators and entrepreneurs, young meaning kids still in high school. So yeah, welcome back. And thank you so much, Dawn, for doing what you're doing. I do want to let people know where they can find out more about your initiative and where they can get more information about how to support your organization. They can go to startedupfoundation.org. We will have that in the show notes for everyone, but it's startedupfoundation.org. So I'm really excited that you're here. And let's talk, because you are teaching about the entrepreneurial journey. What I'm hearing is you are actually creating an ecosystem of collaborative support for your students And what I also heard you say was it's a lonely and depressing road to be an entrepreneur. So I'm curious if you have a coach or if you have an ecosystem of entrepreneurial support for yourself, Don.
So I just obtained one. The reason why is I've had a network. So I've been intrapreneurial most of my teaching career, whether it be owning rentals or writing a book and speaking. I've always been that. But of the entrepreneurs I know, a lot of times they have to stick together because the buck stops there. You know, sometimes misery brings company. And so when you want to go to the cafeteria or the, you know, the lounge or whatever, you can always complain about, you know, well, this sucks there. There's no one to complain to. It's on you, for better or for worse. And oftentimes, there's also this separation between you and some of the people that you're hiring. So yeah, it can be lonely and awful, and there is no getting your overtime hours guaranteed. So it can be tough, and there's also no guarantee of success. You know, if you're an employee, it's almost guaranteed. If you work long hours, you'll get rewarded. Not so in entrepreneurialism. So
you can also get fired as an employee. Nothing is really 100% secure, right? The truth is that
absolutely
the upside potential of being an entrepreneur is exponentially larger than the upside potential of being an employee. So
yeah, you're right. When it's great, it's great. But the success rate of entrepreneurs is not where I would hoped it to be. But at the same time, high risk, high reward. And yeah, there's a lot of also benefits thereof. But you were hitting on earlier, it's great to have a network of people that you can kind of count on.
Sure. And I think what you're also teaching the kids is that they can learn, right? You know, obviously you guys, whoever you and your partner, or if you have more than that many people, I don't know if it's more than the two of you at this point, but you're teaching the kids to be looking for that kind of support, both as colleagues with each other and looking up to receiving the coaching from you. So is this your first coach that you've hired, or have you been coached before?
It is my first coach, and I'm so glad that he is in my life. I tried to, I can do it. I can trudge through it. And it's been a night and day experience on how much I've already gotten already. And for the record, yes, I have a team of four. So, and happily, and really we have an additional three right now unpaid, but they're help growing it. But yeah, the coaching, I will forever now sing the praises of don't go through it alone. A good coach has accumulated all this knowledge of everybody else's highs and lows and can pass that on to you. So.
Yeah, not only that, but they can really cut the learning curve exponentially. You can spend a lot of time as an entrepreneur trying things sometimes out of order, right? Like there is actually an order to building your business, and whether it's a nonprofit or a for-profit, and if you do things out of order, you're not going to have the results that you're looking for, and you're going to waste a lot of your precious time. So Awesome. I'm glad you have a coach. And I usually ask the coaching question to my men on purpose because I think it's an important one. So tell me about the inspiration for creating what you did in the first place when you did the creation process, when you stepped into that creation process. What was it that inspired you to make it into a nonprofit? How did you structure what it is that you're offering? I'd love to have you talk about like more the inner game process for you around how you showed up in that process and the things that you did to advance your own plan.
Yeah, I'd say the origin really was necessity. I still see schools doubling down on this memorization model, which I, ironically enough, I'm not going to sidetrack it too much. I find it interesting that people are up in arms about this whole college admission scandal. Meanwhile, teachers are like, really? It's obvious. It's almost like dumb obvious. Parents they want the best for their kids, but then they start asking like, wait, a degree where and what does it mean, right? You know, people don't care about what you know. They only about the skills of what you have and the things you can do. So this has been a great, you know, talk of, you know, when I graduated from college in 1990, whenever, if you just had a diploma, you're gold, that's it. Now it is skills based. And so I saw the unrealistic debt that we're racking up. I see kids that changed their major three times, have $150,000 in debt and still no degree because they changed their major three times and run out of money. I see hopelessness. I see despair on a lot of the kids that said, I did it the right way. I was a good girl. I was a good boy. I sat there quietly with my hands clasped and waited for your instructions. Then when we got out of school, there aren't instructions. Like, figure your own shit out. And then all of a sudden, like, what do you mean? I'm a good boy. I'm a good girl. That was one of the origins. And also to kind of make up for what we've done wrong. I think that this changing economy and through also artificial intelligence, machine learning, like some of the wonderful things that is in life that is going to make some jobs obsolete, we need to adjust to that. So I thought, if not now, when? And then again, like Daniel Pink, you know, what motivates people? Well, it's not sitting there shutting up. It's learning by trial and error, which ironically enough looks a lot like a kid playing video games. Hey, if you beat the game on the first try, it was too easy. You like to learn and then press reset and keep going and keep going. So,
yeah. So there's a huge difference between cultivating a lifelong learner and cultivating a master memorizer. And I would say I definitely myself was that kind of person where I was a master memorizer. I came out of high school, went to college. There was some economic stuff that happened in my own family that prevented a continuation of college. So I actually had college interrupted because of the economics in my own family. And then, boom, I was in the real world and needed to actually draw on my capacity to learn more so than my capacity to memorize. And the systems, you know, as we said at the beginning, it's really built to churn out factory workers who are obedient and, you know, attempting to reach a certain repetitive goal rather than people who are creative thinkers and innovators and collaborators. So let's talk about, you know, where you're at in your own journey. Are you ready to go and to leave this old system behind, or are you still like taking baby steps in that direction?
I mean, it's funny that now our new model is having things off school time, but in a funny backdoor way, almost kind of like the old middle school hard to get game. You know, if I asked you out, you're like, I don't know. But if I didn't ask you out and didn't act interested, maybe you'd ask me out. These events we're starting to do in other cities, the superintendents and some of the parents are starting like, hey, maybe we need some of this in our schools. So I'm not giving up. But at the same time, I didn't want to wait around for everybody to convert. You know, I'm saying this lovingly, the creative weird, the strange kid who is artsy and out there and just gets it, but doesn't do school as well, they gravitate towards us. And oftentimes, sometimes parents, principals, teachers see, hey, you're serving this kid. Maybe we can look under the hood. And that's been a thing too. But then lastly, there's been wonderful people out there like Seth Godin, Gary Vaynerchuk, Mike Rowe of Dirty Jobs, these people that have really been the torchbearers of let's rethink education because the economy's changing, that has also been a help too. So hopefully we'll gain some traction that way.
Beautiful. Well, you know, I think the other thing that I want to say to you is you definitely have a market with the parents. You know, you definitely also could potentially have a market with corporations who are looking for people to come out drained to go to work for them, right?
It's so funny you say that. Yes. Yeah. No, it's been exactly. Matter of fact, you bring up a great point. When we first started marketing our events, like primarily on Facebook, and parents eat this up.
Yeah.
But if you ever want an event to be dubbed uncool, it's your mom thinks it's pretty special. You should go to this because it seems swell. Well, so our attendance was kind of having a hard time. We had to up our Instagram game up. But then, like you said, we also started getting corporate involvement because in some cases, they just, even though they're like, they're not saying, give us your talent pipeline. They're just like, we want our future employees to think like this.
Exactly.
Like, wow, there's hope. So yeah, we've gotten a really good amount of corporate interest here lately.
Yeah, beautiful. I can see that. I'm a seer, so I can't help but see things, Don. All right. Well, we have one more question before we go. We're very close to the end. When you have a success in your journey, how do you celebrate?
Probably not enough. I unfortunately fall into the, okay, then what's next? But you're making me think here for a second. Maybe I should pause more to be grateful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although I will say I'm surrounded by a great team, and I think together we keep each other motivated. But, you know, I am going to say I'll probably take this back to, which ironically enough is our meeting tonight here in 3 hours. So maybe we're like, hey, when we hit key metrics, let's celebrate a little bit more.
Yeah. If there's anything for you to institutionalize, why don't we institutionalize celebration? Hopefully you're teaching that to the kids. And, you know, if you're going to teach that to the kids, you've got to model it yourself, right, Tom?
Yep. Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us. And listeners, we love feedback. Please let us know what you thought of today's show, or send in questions or guest suggestions to listeners at menonpurposepodcast.com. We might even give you a shout out on the show. Thanks for tuning in. Keep your ears open. And remember, you are magnificent men.
Thanks for tuning in, downloading, and listening. Be sure to review and rate Men on Purpose on Apple Podcasts and share with other men who can benefit from today's episode. Men on Purpose is the premier podcast series for informing, activating, and inspiring the leader who has made his money and knows now is the time to make his mark. We welcome your feedback and guest suggestions and invite you to subscribe to our mailing list to be notified of each new episode at menonpurposepodcast.com.